360fm.ca and the World of Soccer Multimedia Network presents The World of Soccer.
Verano ardiente, mira que bien se siente. Haz que el piso reviente, siente la sensación. Hace calor, hace calor.
A weekly soccer show for soccer fanatics with the best team of sports hosts and commentators. Juan Carlos Cordero, Alison Lemon, Joe Piccarelli, Sarkis Karmikian Jr., Rudy Padilla, and Nicolas Cordero Ramirez. The World of Soccer. The World of Soccer. This is The Road to the World Cup, now in iTunes, 360fm.ca, an international syndication, ready for Brazil 2014 World Cup, the world of soccer. The world of soccer.
Hello everybody, we are ready for a new show of The World of Soccer. So today's show is gonna be really good, it's gonna be full of excitement and lots of sports. Here with me, I have all the crew. I have to my right, Alison Lemon.
Hi.
Did you call me a crew? Just because I have a crew cut?
Well,
buongiorno, everybody.
But you look like you're going to own a soccer club, Pecorelli.
He looks that way.
You look like executive. I haven't seen you that way before.
Yeah, actually, Pecorelli is having a new look.
So yes, we're going to call the body look.
Yes.
And in body we have the roosters, so here goes my rooster day.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of soccer lately, no? This week it seemed that they are going to be full of soccer every single day, except Monday, and sometime Monday too.
Yes, yes. So, Juan Carlos, we have you here, so...
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I'm a bit sick today, but... Yeah, full of excitement just to get ahead on the show.
Oh yeah, you know, there is so many soccer things lately that we have today. We had the final of the La Liga Cup, La Copa del Rey, no?
Copa del Rey.
And then we have the Champions League semifinal next week, Atletico Madrid versus Chelsea, the underdog semifinal. And then the kings of the soccer, Real Madrid versus Bayern Munich. So I don't know how it's going to be, because last week I think Lionel Messi ran less than the goalkeeper of Athletic Madrid, no? So it was really a shame to look at that game, but certainly we have to recognize, like Pecorelli has always said, that to win a game you have to mark very tight and push the other team, and I think Barcelona couldn't handle arriving, no?
I was talking with my friend Ancelotti last night.
Oh my goodness.
And he told me that Ronaldo CRT? Is not going to be able to play.
He's not going to be able to play
because he's spouting again.
No, I think you know some of the players has to care a little bit for the World Cup, because if you look at Athletic Madrid qualified for the semifinal of the Champions League and leading the La Liga, but his main player Diego Costa got a fracture on the weekend playing in and no important game at all. They played Granada. And was terrible.
And Granada won.
Yeah, but a Barcelona.
See? Sí.
Yeah, they won, but they Uno, beat
Niente.
What is happening to Barcelona, Alison? What do you think is happening? Mm. Because, you know, it seems that they have the great player, but they haven't been able at international level, at the local level, to function.
Yeah, you know, when I was watching the game against Atletico, I think obviously defensively there's some problems. Watching it, I don't know, even like the goalkeeper, I'm not very confident with Pinto in net. I've always thought that like the goalkeeper kind of sets the tone, because they're the main communicator on the field. They're the ones telling you where to be, who's open. And I mean, if he's not doing his job, then...
But at those five shoot on the post on the bar, mm-hmm. has nothing to do with the goalkeeper. They could have scored five, mm-hmm. nothing, exactly like I said.
Easily, mm-hmm. yes. Yeah? Yes, but what could you say, Allison, for instance, in terms of practice or preparation just to avoid the injuries? Like, for instance, also like talking about Canadian soccer, Toronto Football Club, we also had two injured, which is Jermaine Defoe and Michael Bradley, which is
lost.
So this time of the season
when you are very far on the season, you can get injuries in Europe, but when you're playing at the Major League Soccer and you are in the first man of competition, how could it be that you are injured? Six players at FC are injured.
Yeah, but we also we have national teams playing to qualify, we have the Champions League, we have regular league, there's so many leagues going on, so many different playing styles that it takes a toll on your body.
Yeah, I was wondering to ask that one, because we always talk about high-intensity soccer, and we are training that way lately, okay? But, if the body doesn't have a rest, usually injuries are going to come. You don't have a choice. You see all those players that are going to miss the World Cup, and you see that Cristiano Ronaldo is not playing because he has a severe injury. He's not playing because he doesn't want to miss the World Cup. So how do you do it with a training that still is high intensity, but you get the resting period that you need when you had only 5 weeks to go, and the tournament in Italy, Juventus and Roma are like that.
The 5 points, 5 points from each other.
Yes.
I would say CrossFit. I think that the new buzzword is going to be CrossFit.
Yeah.
And CrossFit is the only... I would say proper way to train yourself way across from, like it says, CrossFit, from the top part and to the bottom part. As a soccer coach, we always concentrated on the bottom part of the bodies, the legs and the movements. Today, that doesn't do it anymore. CrossFit is what we need to do.
What do you see? Done boot camp, CrossFit, all those things. You know?
And you were also injured recently, and then it's good to see you now recovered, playing again.
The CrossFit champion of Canada, it's my niece. I just want to tell you guys.
Propaganda.
Bella bambina.
Bella bambina is from Sarnia.
Yeah.
Her last name is Sandali.
Yeah.
You guys can check it out. And I was watching the other day training, and you know how they pull weight, like tires and stuff like that. Now this girl, she does it backwards. She puts her feet up in the air, hands on the floor, and they start pulling tires like that with a chain across the bellies.
But
I cannot do that.
You had somehow a professional level to see something happening, because some players are running 15 kilometers a game, and Messi was running 4.2 in a quarter final that is important, and he, if he thinks that he's the best player in the world, he has to come out with an answer. Okay, I saw Maradona in the 86, and that team was very bad, but when they were to play, they won the World Cup because Maradona stood up to the challenge. I don't think Messi is up to the challenge in Brazil, and right now he's putting Barcelona in danger, because all the other players feel, he's not stepping, what we're going to step?
Well, him and Neymar, just to make a quick comment, for instance, we have also The Simpsons, the cartoon series. They launched a show showing the final of the World Cup in Brazil, the final between Brazil and Germany, and Homer was the referee of that game. And the thing is they were portraying that Brazil could, as you said last time, Giuseppe, buy the game, right? So at the end, Homer didn't see to the temptation, and Germany won 2-0. But the interesting thing is the character that plays Neymar in The Simpsons in that show actually faked a penalty in the box, and Homer didn't mark it. So, and that's pretty much what Picorelli said in the show that we filmed. Yeah,
it's incredible. The last referee game that I did was 1990 for the World Cup, and it was USA versus Honduras. Yeah. And I remember that we were there on Port-au-Prince, and Honduras over there. I was a linesman, and I never forget that. You know, in the night we went to check the field, and they were killing the chickens, you know, doing the dance and stuff like that, which was good. But on the last minute, on the 89th minute of the game, the referee gives USA a penalty shot that it did not exist. I was so mad. I actually threw my flag up in the air. Just, like, I was totally against just, and I like, I do that. And I never seen 80,000 people, you know, going lime greens. Took 187 policemen to score us out of the field. Oh my that was goodness. My last game.
Yeah, lately it's many players are faking penalties. No, even in the game that Liverpool defeat Manchester City 3-2, still Luis Suarez is a great player, but sometimes he dies so much that it gets you a little bit uneasy. No,
I have to ask anybody that's been a coach, you being in the game over there, you losing the game over there, and your blood is boiling. You never ask your players to go in the penalty shot in the penalty areas and fake a penalty, because I did.
No, I don't.
Many times.
Not in my case. In my case, I rather prefer them to put all the effort, because I know that I have a good team. We're gonna tie or we're gonna win the game. I know what you said, Pecorelli, because you know, you see, lately, you have this kind of movement in a penalty and a set play, like a corner, no? All the players are getting into each other, and moving, and suddenly...
Dancing.
Okay? One of the players, like a Liverpool Skrtel, that has scored 10 goals in set play in this championship, run to the first post, head the ball to the other side, go. So all that putting the shell, going into the faking the scene, it doesn't serve any purpose, because a player that has played the set play is going to score.
But this is the referee's fault, because the referee directs the game, and if you see something this happening at the beginning and he stops it, it's fine.
You have to but show like a 7 yellow card immediately, or
no? No. If you let him play, and you're fair that you let him play. And even if they fake, I mean, you know for sure if somebody fakes or not.
For sure. A referee knows.
Unless the referee is not a player, he was a pizza maker before, he doesn't know what taking a dive means, et cetera, the referee is a player. He did everything that was done in the field, the referee did it if he was playing. Everything. Fakes, pulls, I was refereeing a White Cup game one time, and this big Scottish players, I was ahead of him. He had this trick. Somebody would fly in front of him, he would pull his pants down. So the guy turns around and punches him, right? The referee hears the crowd, he turns around, what does he see? The guy punching the other guy. Boom, you give him a red card. He did not deserve the red card, but as a referee, I check the moment.
Yeah.
And when you're playing to the moment, anything can happen if you're smart enough.
Yeah, but look, Alison was saying the other day that she's accustomed to play, and she stands right away, continue playing. My brother used to do the same. My brother was so good, but he never faked a penalty shot. So I don't know. What do you think, Rudy?
What I think is, like, in a way, The Simpsons have something to say, because Neymar's character is called Il Divo in this chapter.
The Diablo.
So,
I don't think he faked too much, believe
it's part of the game, as Picorelli said last time. And referees, they play a big role an enormous role. But talking about one of the topics that you mentioned, Juan Carlos, for today's show, we have now technology into the World Cup. We now have the thing that also assists the referees on the
offside. But only in the ball, more than offside. Offside, yeah. I don't understand, because if he referees fit to be a linesman, he has to run exactly like the last man, and not all of them do that.
Gentlemen, what does the referee has on his chest? He's got an emblem, and the emblem says, FC. I got the whistle.
Yes.
So, and he will make the decisions. I mean, being a referee, you make that decision. And the referee can be enticed by the players themselves. And when you go into a game, guys, I will advise you, when you go into a game, the referee doesn't care about you. He doesn't care about you. You start talking to the referee. You start saying things to the referee. You start giving him a hard time. He will turn against you like in a dime. And this is what happens all the time.
And talking about polemic games and also referee-involved games, we have now the other matchup between Canada and U.S. with the girls, May 8th on Winnipeg. So what do you guys think about the outcome this time, now in in our territory, in Canadian territory?
What do you think, Alison?
I'm not sure. I don't know.
I do.
You know,
I am absolutely sure with the coaching staff that we have that Canada is going to lose. I don't want that.
Even if it's in Winnipeg?
Yes, even if it's in Winnipeg. You watch out. Because Canada does not have the training staff capable of holding the 1-0 period. And they make changes all the time, which are blind changes.
It's tough when you have to compete with a team as United States that rely too much in the physical aspect of the game, and they are far away from what Canada has to offer at fitness level, at least in the World Cup for women, okay? Last time, I still remember talking to John Kerman and the physical trainer for the national team, and I was looking what they were putting, and they were putting a GPS into each player. So they are able to track what exactly they do into the field. But still, you know, if we run 10 kilometers, the American run 15, they still wear 5 kilometers that in a game, look, if you do the Cooper test, and one of the players give you one lap over all the other players, that player is going to last at least 4 more minutes into the game. So Canada versus United States, you know, I don't see it happening that Canada is going to defeat United States easily, even if we play in Canadian soil, because at least United States has a base of player that is ranked nationally. So you know how the top 100 players in United States they are. In Canada, we have players that are supposedly are into the top 24, but you know that there is players that are not in that ranking that are better than the top 24, and they are not in the system. They have not been scouted. They are not being evaluated properly as the way that they do in the United States, from being under 15 to adult.
Oh, definitely we're growing.
What I think is, like, it's going to be a evenly match, and it could be anybody's game. That's my belief. And hopefully I can also predict as well, as we did last time with Canada versus Ghana, remember, on under 17 in Costa Rica. So I go with my girls. So I'm Beth Prisman.
You can play in United versus United there. States team, no? So how do you feel when you play versus American team? Do you think all teams has an edge versus them, or it's difficult to cope with the rhythm that they have?
Well, I think with the U.S., because they're so intent on using fitness to their advantage, you know, you add a little bit of creativity and you got a perfect game. It's really that simple. And, I mean, with Canada, I mean, just playing in the provincial league here, and even with the futsal team, the lack of fitness that we do, the player, it's like, it's almost as if, like, coaches allow players to be lazy, and they don't really see the end mark of a league or a season. It's like, you know, yeah, so what, you have a preseason, but it's like you have to maintain a high fitness level throughout the season, not just, you know, maybe 2 or 3 weeks before the season. I feel like every year, same thing. You start off really high intense, really enthusiastic about it, and then, you know, halfway the season, you're not even, like doing the runs, your sprints.
They don't want to run, Alison.
Yeah.
You know, you as a women player, to do a half an hour high intensity training warm-up, we're not talking about the full session, and they still, we're going to run half an hour, we're going to do exercise half an hour, and you need it, because as you said, when you go to compete with the American, mm-hmm. or the Japanese or the German, you don't have that luxury. You are going to be, your face is going to be painted all over the way.
Yeah. I refereed a game, Canada versus USA, in Victoria, BC. And so as a referee, I show up over there at least 1 hour ahead of the game. 15 buses from USA, beautiful buses, come in. The girls were into perfect suits. They had people carrying their bags. They had everything. Canadian girls, they were not even there yet. So they finally start show up in half an hour before the game. Somebody was carrying a dog. Somebody was carrying a kid. Somebody was dragging her boyfriend. Somebody was carrying a case of beer. No. and I felt like, hello? And that was the difference. Did they lose? Yeah. But there was an intimidation. Yeah.
Can I tell you something that happened to me when we played the pre-World Cup in Toronto? Okay. I convocated the team to play the first two games at such a time. They were playing that day Sun College versus Toronto Lady Lynx at 1 p.m. Okay? So we play a full game. When they play versus the world champion, the first half, I want to see those players, okay? I want to see that they are able to. So I leave some of them, instead of changing every 3 minutes, I leave some of them 7 minutes. Alison can tell you, they couldn't cope. How you cannot cope 7 minutes when you supposedly be at top level? When you're training 3 times a week with a university or a college, that mm-hmm. they're supposed to have a training that is intense. So you don't last 7 minutes versus a world champion. So the world champion easily can turn around the game because they start mm-hmm. pressing. The same way that Atletico Madrid did to Barcelona, they start pressing. Instead you're going forward, you're going backward. Instead mm-hmm. of playing to your other players that are running to the space to get the ball, you're passing to the goalkeeper.
Yeah.
So instead of playing with 5 in a game that is fast-paced, you're playing with 3, 2 defenders and the goalkeeper. Are the defenders the best player in the team? Not necessarily, okay? So you know that the fitness level is something that here in Canada, we have to sort it out. Mm-hmm. We have to have that mentality that, as you said, that we are not going to a picnic to the game, that we are not the best in the world because we are the best in Ontario, the best in Canada. Mm-hmm. We're going to play worldwide, and we have to defeat teams that are training now 3, 4, 5 times a week.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
because it hurts, you know? It hurts when you put a plan and the player don't want to train.
We have a player with us, of course, beautiful Miss Lemon. And nothing to do with Jack. Jack was a different guy. She says that when I go and play, I go and play to win. So that's the first motivation.
Yeah, that's good.
When I go and practice, I'm going to practice to get myself in shape, get myself into the zone.
Sure.
And that's good too. You're a coach. I saw you coaching, and I saw you talking a lot to the players. But we do not concentrate into what we call the head game, the part of the game where it explains what actually you're doing, what you actually are supposed to do. The game to me is like a movie set.
Yeah.
And each players must play their part. And if the players are made to control their parts, I think that we'll do better.
Yeah, but when you have a country where you do the training through drills instead of a small side game and new methodology, you have something that is contradictory, because you go to the field, you explain to the player, and they are playing, they're expecting to do a drill, like a passing between one and the other, one time, two touch, one touch. But they're not thinking that you have to live the reality of the game, because when you are playing and controlling or passing the ball, you have an opponent versus you. And you have situations that you have to deal, like playing offensive, playing defensive, playing counterattack. It's difficult. It's going to take time to change that mentality here.
It's going to
take, man. I told you what I saw, that Italian coach under 21 coming here, explaining to the Canadian coaches, and they still don't get it. Still don't get it. The Italian coach is the UEFA champion with the under 21. He's telling what to think, how to change, how to move. What is the idea? This is a game of intelligence. This is not only a game of fitness. Fitness is, for me, is a must. You don't come to a play and tell me that you are going to get fit. You have to come fit. Mm-hmm. Or no, Alice.
I agree. No, it's... I mean, I always think that, like when you're playing with young kids, they should always be focusing on more footwork, more creativity, let them play. But when you're, start getting into your teens, that's when you really have to push fitness, because they already know what to do with the ball.
Yeah.
Right? Because now you want to get that killer instinct, the athlete that comes out of the players and really want to win. Because when you don't have that and you go into a field, and you think your skill can beat everyone, it's not going to happen.
I mean,
if you think about Barcelona, why do they lose the last few games? Because they're not fit.
Yeah.
They're not in the right positions. They're playing with new players. And when the slightest bit of intensity hits them, it's like they're confused.
You're going to see next week, for example, when Real Madrid play Bayern Munich,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. You are going to see that, man. Even Athletic Chelsea, you're going to see how each player has to run 12 to 15 kilometers, and no way that you can stray from that.
Yeah.
Because those guys are going to run, and if you don't run at their pace, they are going to score in your net.
Yeah.
And what I think...
I love the fact right now that what they're doing, we used to preach two touches. Now even two touches is too much. Mm-hmm. Now it's one touch. You see the ball comes to you, bam, racers is going to the other side. And that's where I...
Well, you can do that if the team move. But if the player don't move, what are you going to do? You do a one touch. For example, Alisson does a one touch and appear to the space to receive the ball, and the other player
doesn't move
or doesn't pass, what are you going to do?
Fire the coach.
Yeah, well,
change the team.
Yeah, but for example, Martino is going to be fired in Barcelona. Martino already arranged that he's not going to be Barcelona coach.
Mm-hmm.
The one coming is going to be maybe the one who has Borussia Dortmund club, or they were saying Simeone, but Simeone is not for Barcelona. And still, they will have to change, because at this time of the soccer, you cannot play no running. You cannot only think that a technique is going to have your edge for the other team, because everything is getting closer.
Yeah, and that's why in UEFA Champions League, Barcelona got out, right? But what I think in terms of talking about today's Copa del Rey, Barcelona Real Madrid, it's going to be an intensity game, although the thing that is happening to Barcelona, in my view, is that some of the players, they are getting ready for the World Cup. They don't want to have an injury, and they are keeping themselves for that risk.
Let's go back to Victor Valdez with his torn ACL. I mean, that's a player's nightmare. I mean, you wouldn't want to, even if you're if your ankles are hurting and you're going into, with Real Madrid, Barcelona today. I mean, do you really want to risk it for a game, or risk your opportunity to play in a World Cup?
They're not going to run like they have supposed to run. You're so close, less than 60 days, and it's not going to happen. But it's incredible, because at a point, team has to be fit and has to be able to sustain all those commitments that they have.
No? We'd like also to invite everybody that listens to us to get yourself in shape, because there will be some room into the Canadian Soccer Professional League to get some new players.
Are we talking about League One?
Yes.
Yeah.
So talking about UEFA Champions, let's do our predictions for the games. We have the semifinals, Atletico Chelsea.
You're too bad, Rudy. You're too bad.
Well, last time I scored twice. Remember, Bayern I go with Bayern and I go with Atletico.
That's because you followed
both
me.
Won.
Now we're going to okay, now we're going to have Chelsea.
Okay, Pecorelli, Chelsea, Atletico.
Chelsea.
Lemon.
The fantastic
Real Madrid, Bayern.
Bayern.
Rudy. Atletico Madrid, Chelsea.
Chelsea.
Ma vaffanchina.
Yeah. I don't know about that one.
Pick the other guy.
Yeah, yeah, because of your
because
boyfriend,
of the, because
of David
the,
Luiz.
No, okay,
because
okay.
of the coaching stuff.
Yeah, Alison, but for the audience, she was the one who interviewed the Brazilian defender David Luiz on the game Brazil Chile here in Toronto.
I don't like Chelsea myself because of the guy. But
what
I see
guy?
The guy who
the fantastic
who,
one,
the guy who
the
won
one and only?
The Inter Milan,
the one and only.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't like the guy, but I have to realize that he's very tactically intelligent. The way that he plans his team is to for the underdog to win. So now we're going to leave because that we have to finish the program. But we will continue next week talking about this prediction and. Thank you, Cater.
Thank you, Cater.
Ciao, everybody.
He has a day, eh?
He tries.
This is The Road to the World Cup with 360 FM Radio and the World of Soccer Multimedia Network. Ready for Brazil 2014 World Cup. 360FM.ca and the World of Soccer Multimedia Network presents The World of Soccer.
Verano ardiente, mira que bien se siente. Haz que el piso reviente, siente la sensación. Hace calor, hace calor.
A weekly soccer show for soccer fanatics with the best team of sports hosts and commentators. Juan Carlos Cordero, Alison Lemon, Joe Piccarelli, Sarkis Karmikian Jr., Rudy Padilla, and Nicolas Cordero Ramirez. The World of Soccer.
The World of Soccer.
This is The Road to the World Cup. Now in iTunes, 360FM.ca, an international syndication. Ready for Brazil 2014 World Cup. The World of Soccer.
The World of Soccer. Brazil!